along tonight. It's the Jeff and Erica Hour, three times a week in which we do our best to keep you advised on a broad front of topics, a large panorama of issues that are happening right now that are being covered up. Don't forget, wherever you are listening around the world, your country's media is probably controlled ultimately by the same globalist elite that are running this country's media. And if you control the media, you control reality. Because reality for most people is what they see and how they're conditioned. And that's the simple truth. Most people believe that that big screen is not going to lie to them. So there we go. We have the Tiffany Dover story. We're going to talk about that just a little bit. Then we got a couple videos for you as well. Lots going on. Hello, young lady. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. I'm good. How are you?
I need a hot fudge sundae.
Oh, all right. We're taking orders.
Well, just don't let it melt. All right. Here's the Tiffany Dover story. I talked about it a little bit last hour with Donald Jeffries, but NBC News has run a big exclusive on this. Most of you who have followed this whole nightmare horror of these non-vax, she keeps calling them a vaccine. Tiffany Dover is allegedly alive. She didn't die at all. Never mind the data that was pulled up by people who did a very deep and thorough search of the county records in which she lived. And they found her name, I believe it was her premarital name, as having died on the day that she passed out. So there was a lot of work and a lot of research done on this. They waited 2 years. If they're going to do this, they did it just right. They waited 2 years, and now they have someone they say is Tiffany Dover. Is it Tiffany? Show me a picture of her without the face mask the day she got the shot. I don't know of any. This girl has an entirely different hair color. I know about hairstyles and hair coloring. I get that. But that girl was thin, skinny. This girl's huskier. She's got a whole different hair color. It's been very nicely colored, several different colors in this light brown blonde thing. And she looks like an actress. Doesn't look like a nurse. Doesn't talk like a nurse. But maybe it is her. I don't know. As I said before, I hope it is. I hope she's alive. But I don't believe it at this point, even with this. Is it a deep fake? I don't think it's a deep fake necessarily. It's just a different person. Because they have the first Tiffany was masked up. You can't tell. So anyhow, there were pictures of her running around back then without the mask. I don't know where they are now, but somebody should look for them. Compare them to the image in this NBC News story. And the one thing she did say was that the hospital prevented her from standing up and telling the world that she was quite alive. The hospital didn't want another event, she says. Well, the NBC News reporter went to the hospital, and the hospital denied having ever told her not to talk about her issue. So there's a bit of a problem there, for sure. Any thoughts on this?
It's bizarre. I mean, I agree with you. This doesn't look anything like her. But apart from that, the mannerisms are quite different from the woman that was standing at the podium 2.5 years ago now, almost.
Well, that's called conspiracy theorist trauma. She's been traumatized.
Well, this isn't the first time they tried to pass somebody else off as her. Do you remember in the days to weeks after that episode, they had
another
a lookalike
version?
Yes.
Of her.
And people scrutinized that, and then it became clear that, no, this isn't her. This is somebody else, and they're trying to cover it up.
Right.
And now, I guess they're trying to explain it away, you know, her silence for almost 2.5 years, and they're not even making a reasonable attempt at, I don't know, trying to pick somebody that looks
I would think
closer
it would
than
have
this
been.
Woman.
This woman allegedly quit the hospital, I think the story said, a year ago. This is a glam treatment of whoever this person is. I mean, the hair coloring and all of it, the clothing. No, it just doesn't work. If it was the same dark brown, kind of dull brunette that Tiffany showed in that shot-taking extravaganza in which she fell down, that would be easier to believe. But here we have someone who looks like she wants a job in a TV series or something.
Yes, yeah.
And she's got much poise. She's the poise, all right? You don't put somebody after two plus years of living as a recluse and being afraid to tell their story, allegedly because the hospital didn't want her to, but that doesn't work. And now with this, she's very calm, very, very confident, speaking as if she's done this many times before and not nervous, nothing like that. So you have to watch those little signs. Anyhow, here's a little clip.
Here's
a tiny clip from it. I'll post the story so you all can see it. Okay, here. Doesn't want to play for me. What's wrong with it? Let me see. It's at 240. I'm going to back it up a tiny bit. Seems to be playing, but I've got no audio, so I may have to.
Those in that movement are sort of using you as their poster girl. It's hard to think that you are being used to deter somebody from getting the vaccine. And that was really hard for me to cope with.
Are you saying you blamed yourself?
Yes, absolutely. I wish that we would have used it as a platform to speak out on the fact that people do pass out after getting shots, vaccines, but that is not a reason to not proceed with getting them.
CHI Memorial has repeatedly denied knowledge of any directive asking Tiffany not to speak or post, including in an interview for our podcast.
I'm not aware of anything that asked Tiffany not to respond.
The hospital recently telling NBC News, "We have no new information." A year ago, Tiffany left CHI Memorial, and while she hopes to work as a nurse again one day, for now, she's focused on reclaiming her life.
Even after all of this, there will be people who say, "We don't believe you." What then?
At this point, you know, I've done what I needed to do. I've put it out there that I'm alive. They have to choose whether they believe that or not.
Okay. So she waited over, two plus years. There's an issue with the hospital that denies having told her not to talk, and she could have spoken out at any time. So she lived with this nightmare for 2.5 years? I don't think so, or whatever
Mm-mm.
it is. She says,
no.
I was in a dark place, and I did not have it in me to do this because I didn't know if I could trust you, Tiffany says to the reporter. I don't know why I trust you now, but I'm choosing to. Tiffany Dover to the NBC News affiliate reporter. Okay, whatever. So there. They remember, again, I'm going to repeat this because it's really important. Reality for the majority of people on this planet is what they are fed on the big flat screens. That's reality. You got to remember that at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So easy to control the sheep. No problem at all. Okay. So we have Peter McCullough now in another video. Speaking for both Erica and myself, and many of you who have been listening to us we're in our third year now, for a long time, it's very difficult to see people, any people. I'm not picking on Peter McCullough. He's been a guest on the program here. But he's saying things that we were saying at least 2 years ago. And people are acting like, oh, my God, this is a shocker. No, it's not a shocker. If you've been listening to this program, and I'm sure there are some others out there who have put the truth out as well. So here's a two-minute little clip of Peter McCullough telling people the obvious, exactly what we've been saying, that the spike protein is absolutely a cold, dead-on killer. And that relates to Dr. Chetty in South Africa and many others, but he was the first to say it, and I'll always give him credit for that. Here's McCullough.
2 years old. 5 days after he takes the first dose of Pfizer, he goes to the hospital with chest pain, and he dies 7 hours later. Do you know what it takes to kill a 22-year-old man in a hospital with full resuscitation equipment, full ability to do all the cardiac life support? This is in Seoul, South Korea. It's a very sophisticated. It is an incredible force inside the human body that can kill a healthy 22-year-old man right in front of the doctors. The heart, as shown here, is loaded with inflammation. The heart is basically being destroyed with myocarditis. Destroyed. People have said, Dr. McCullough, what can bring down an athlete? These athletes that are just the picture of health, they've been screened for any cardiac condition. They are as healthy as you can be. This can. Swimmer Ty Wells in Arizona just died. Look at a picture of him, a strapping, wonderful body of a man who swims in the strongest athletes you can find. Dead. This spike protein is a killer, and it rips through the hearts of men and women. Two boys, Connecticut, day 3 and 4 after the second dose of Pfizer, the parents find the boys at home, dead at home. The parents are horrified. They call for autopsies. Thankfully, they did. It goes to the Connecticut coroner. They call in University of Michigan, University of Minnesota. They examine the heart. Conclusion, the vaccines killed the boys. Fatal myocarditis. Fatal. Do you know to this day, the consent form is not updated to say the vaccines cause fatal myocarditis? Do you know to this day, our CDC and FDA say it's mild and that it's transient? To this day, with these papers being published,
That's it. Just to give an idea, it obviously went on for a while longer. And, you know, great. Good to see. But it's old news. Old news. People should have been told about this from the beginning, as soon as it was noted. And we did. We did our best. Many others did their best. And unfortunately, around 83% of the public in this country took the injection. But never fear. The U.S. government has just reopened at least a couple of its deadly bioweapon laboratories in Ukraine. They're back at work. God only knows what they're concocting next. And why Ukraine, unless they're trying to do something that they can use against the Russian people? It's tough to know. Tough to know. So here's McCullough. Dr. McCullough wasn't afraid to stand up to big pharma, big tech, big government during the pandemic, and he is showing that same courage today. Quote, this spike protein is a killer, and it rips through the hearts of men and women. Okay. And then it goes on to say, the good news is that despite censorship by the mainstream medical community, solutions exist to deal with this deadly spike protein. Solutions exist to deal with the spike. One, prescription ivermectin. 2, low-dose naltrexone. 3, over-the-counter natokinase. And then it goes on to talk about natto and what it does. And it's actually something that's an extract, so to speak, from the soybean. At any rate, we should be taking natto and serrapeptase every day. That's what should be in your supplements. For sure. Do not take ivermectin as a prophylactic. Keep it around. If you run into a severe issue and you need it, you have it. The naltrexone, I would know what to say about that. What do you say, boss?
Well, that is, I'm losing my voice here, so bear with me. that, I'm not going to be able to finish
this sentence.
Get a drink
of water. Stop eating popcorn for dinner.
It was very smoky here yesterday, and I think
really?
Right.
Well, go here. Just go gargle a little bit. Seriously.
Okay.
That'll help. All right. Now, let me read some more of this story. Not only is natokinase over-the-counter, Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at the Wellness Company have designed an optimized natokinase-based supplement called Spike Support. Now, this is the part that I think many of you know kind of rankles me a little bit, all these people profiting. Whatever, that's what happens. People make money on tragedy. They always do. They always will. And many are doing it. In addition to natokinase, which aids with circulation and dissolves spike proteins. Now, I cannot tell you that I know this to be a 100% absolute lock that it will dissolve spike. We don't know that. It does seem to degrade it somewhat, but I don't have any absolute definitive data to pass along to you. In addition to the natokinase in it, it has dandelion, black sativa, green tea, and Irish sea moss. So the story goes on to say, not only is the spike support formula optimized to provide the greatest possible protection, it has also been created to help consumers save money. Purchasing all the separate ingredients of the spike protein support formula would be over $100. You can save 36% with the unique formulation in the Wellness Company's Spike Support formula. Okay, well, go ahead. Have at it. There are many other things you need to take as well, as you all know, and not just this one. There are many other things. But I take Natto and Sera every day, and some companies are making them mixed together. Natto Sera, they call it. So you can take care of yourselves. I think of all these people who have put in all of these supplements, and they have superstores of supplements. It's crazy. All right. Erica says her voice is momentarily gone. Whoops. So we'll carry on here while she gets it together. Take your time. It'll come back.
Okay.
You got that fluttery.
I'm here.
No, I hear you. You're all right. You're all right. I warned you about that popcorn for dinner. You won't listen. All right. Now, Dr. Naomi Wolf has done a lot of work in this field, and she is still on a learning curve. She's picking up more data all the time. And it's kind of frustrating to see material being hailed as brand new that we've been talking about here for a long time. I'm glad to see it out there. I'm not saying we have eminent reach into every corner of society. We don't. But the idea that people are now just catching on to this, that's the frustrating part. It's not that they're late or early. It's just that they're, well, whatever. All right. They're presenting it like it's brand new, and it's not. But at least they're presenting it, and let's praise that. Now, here's Dr. Heather Gessling, G-E-S-S-L-I-N-G. She's with the Chief Medical Board at the Wellness Company. So she's involved with this formulation that I just mentioned to you that Peter McCullough is endorsing. I mean, that's kind of interesting in and of itself. Huh. I didn't notice that until just now. Well, let me find this. Hold on. So you believe me. Oh, I did read that quote, the Wellness Company. Okay. So it's there. All right, here's Dr. Heather Gessling with Dr. Naomi Wolf, and she's talking about some of the things she sees in her practice relating to female fertility issues and the horrific injuries to women's reproductive organs that you are all well familiar with by now. So here's Dr. Gessling.
The harms of the injection in pregnant patients, I know that it's causing calcification of the placenta. The placentas are not healthy. I know that it's causing miscarriages. And I have also heard, this is just what I heard from multiple other people, that it seems to be that even non-vaccinated are having problems with their placentas and calcifications. And so it just points to the fact.
Now, that's an interesting statement. We shouldn't let that go by here. The calcification of placentas is caused by these shots. Now, that'll shut down a healthy pregnancy real quick. So there's something that is new, to me at least.
We are being exposed. I had a patient that was thinking about pregnancy message me, and she wanted to know because she was hearing all these reports as well of unvaccinated having issues with their placenta, and she's unvaccinated. And I said, you know, I don't know all of the information on that. I don't know if that means that maybe.
Okay, for all of you out there, she is unvaccinated and yet having issues with her placenta and other issues. What do you think? Shedding? See? This is all part of the whole paradigm of this horrific injection. It doesn't stop with the injectee.
Their husband is vaccinated and they're exposed to spike. We just don't know. There's so much more to learn. And I would say that, you know, if her and her husband and her close contacts are not vaccinated, she's probably protected. But it's scary to think that the effects of the vaccine are transferring over to those that are unvaccinated in this way.
Yes, Dr. Gessling, it's called shedding, and it's very real and a huge problem and a great danger to the unvaxxed.
Fine. I do want to share with you that we found that the Pfizer documents define exposure to vaccine as sexual intercourse, especially at the time of conception. So yeah. There's as well as skin contact and inhalation. So they told the men, vaccinated men in the study, to use two effective methods of birth control with their partner if they were having sex with childbearing age women. So mm-hmm. Pfizer knew that something bad was transmitted in the semen of vaccinated men. So that's a really important data set. Are the unvaccinated women having trouble with their placentas intimate with vaccinated men, or what?
Okay, now here's another sidebar to that. Dr. Arne Burkhardt in Germany found that he did autopsies on two males, one in his 20s, one in his 70s, and examined the testicles and found in both of them, these are vaxxed people who died from the shots, absolutely zero, as in none, no sperm at all. Only wall-to-wall spike protein. So if you, as a woman, are having sexual relations with a vaxxed male, you're going to get dosed with spike, not only from his oral body fluids, his exhalations, any direct perspiration from the skin to skin, but the injection, so to speak, of spike protein. And that's going to go right into the uterus, and that may be at the root or the base of many of these horrific bleeding stories. The spike protein is absolutely, it's beyond words. That's how evil it is. How you doing there?
I'm working on it.
All right. Take your time. I've had that happen to me. It feels like there's a butterfly on my vocal cords. It's weird. You can't make any noise. All right. Well, here's a little bit more from this little audio.
What is causing that? My God, how terrifying. So you're the third person who's independently said they're seeing or hearing of, well, seeing, I guess, calcifications in placentas. How could, and Dr. Thorpe said this as well, and we're talking to a group of midwives in California who are also seeing this. And I've seen the picture Dr. Thorpe showed of like a netting of calcifications in the placenta. Mm-hmm. And of course, the way the placenta works, that would be horrific for the baby, right? Impossible to bring to bear a healthy baby with a calcified placenta. Mm-hmm. So what's the mechanism, in your view, that could lead the ingredients in the vaccine to calcify the placenta or create these calcifications?
Well, that's That's something that I'm not quite sure of. I know that it creates such incredible inflammation, arterial inflammation, you know, presence of spike protein on the artery, on the endothelial lining. And so I would say maybe it has something to do with that. I mean, any type of calcification to me indicates disease, and we don't want diseased arteries. And this is another thing that, you know, is a whole separate conversation, but with like statins and vitamin K2 and use of vitamin D, all of those things need to be thought about when you're taking supplements. Like, this is a side topic, but statins, I think the reason that they can increase arterial calcification is because of blocking K2. Also, if you're taking D3, and if patients are taking a lot of D3, this is just coming to my mind extemporaneously right now. If patients are taking a lot of D3, they're bringing in calcium, they're bringing in increased calcium into their bloodstream, because that's one of the things that D3 does. If you're not taking it along with K2, then you're going to have increased calcium in your bloodstream, and you want that calcium to be out of your arteries and plaque and be put into your bone. I'm not saying that this is what's happening with patients.
She's wise to bring up the D3 issue, which we have been doing for some time now. Not good to take a lot of D3. I've personally stopped. I was taking just one tablet a day, 5,000 units, and for a long time, but never a whole lot. And now I've just stopped. Make sure if you're taking it, you take K2. You've got to take that and balance it out accordingly.
Have had the vaccine necessarily, but there are so many things that we don't know. And the problem is that the mainstream healthcare system and scientific research academic systems are not studying the things that we need to figure out. And so what if there is a association, or not a causation, but because of the fact that maybe patients are taking an increase in supplements to protect themselves. What if that's
right.
affecting them? I just don't know.
Right. Got it. Why did you bring up statins? What's the connection between statins and pregnancy? Or is it a separate question about calcification?
It just made me think that there are so many things that are creating calcification right. in patients these days because of medications or because of inappropriate use of supplements. I mean, when you're taking supplements, you have to be very smart. You know, I have patients that have come to me and they've been on zinc 50 milligrams a day for 2 years. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder how your copper is, you know, or they're taking D3 without K2. And I worry about cardiovascular calcification because of that. Or, you know, all of these nuances to what patients have done. Patients have been doing different things over the last 3 years. When they find out about COVID, even if they, you know, took the vaccine, they may also know, well, maybe if I take a lot of vitamins, okay. You know,
I see what you're saying. The last 3 years are different. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Okay.
Because they're also
calcium. All right. That's pretty much the message there. When you go out in the sun, your body produces an extraordinary amount of D3. And I'm wondering if that would extrapolate into a potential for calcification. Wouldn't seem to. That's a natural body process from UV exposure, ultraviolet light. And I don't know. The body must have a way of producing K2 or something, maybe a something similar that can counter. What do you think?
I can't talk.
No. Just talk. Just whisper. Talk real soft. Don't try and project it.
I can't.
Okay. All right. You just sit there and smile. Be a good girl. We're going to get you a hot fudge sundae afterward. You'll be fine. Don't worry. All right. Well, there you go. Now, the interesting angle there is that Dr. Gessling is the chief operating officer of the wellness company, which is behind that spike protein product that is talked about profusely in the Peter McCullough interview, which is up in headlines right now, the wellness company. All right. So I guess the point is definitely take natokinase and serrapeptase. You can get them together. They have them. You'll find them simply on Amazon. I hate to do Amazon, but that's the way the world works now for the most part. All right. So we've covered Tiffany. Hope she gets that part in that TV series. And now we've talked about McCullough. I don't know how to keep track of all these things. You never know what to believe anymore. That's the truth. You just don't. It's a tough one. They have us. They have us under control. And they know it. And all of this has been planned out in great detail. So, okay, let's, I guess we should go over to our little COVID chronicles, our stories of human beings and their struggles. And we'll take a look at some of those now. What do you think? Is it time? If you can't do it.
You could play a little bit more of Naomi. Because she talks about the iron and the B12.
Oh, good. Okay. Let me go back. I didn't know that. I didn't listen to the whole thing. So let me find that. I have to go looking for it here. What is Naomi called? It should say Naomi Wolf, but it's not. Why not? Last visited. Nope. All right. I'm not seeing it in my history. I'll find it, though. Hold on, everybody. Just give me a second here. Why isn't that showing up in my history? It should. I'm going to scroll down. Not seeing it, but maybe if I go further. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the search function. W-O-L-F-E. Here it is. This is it. Naomi Wolf. Come on. Oop, wrong story. All right, you sent me that, right, Naomi Wolf?
You were just playing it.
Yeah, I know. I closed the screen and closed the window, and it's not showing in my my history, which I usually just go right to and pull right up. All right, hold on. Okay, there. Doctor speak. Here we go. I got it. I found it. Never give up. Not to mention, trust no one. But you can trust us. All right. Let me pull this up. Loading. And turn that ad, that awful ad down. Yeah, this one ad always shows up on my screen, but it does. Okay, let me pull it forward. Okay. All right, here we go.
It needs to be physicians, what they're observing, it needs to be bottom up.
We
see it in our population, then we say, hey, we got to figure out what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Extraordinary. So there's something happening to the B12 levels. Is that what you're saying?
I've seen that so much more commonly over the last 2 years than I have ever in my practice.
And would that cause tiredness, or what symptoms does that cause?
Yeah, it causes tiredness. And so B12 is required for blood production. So back to you thinking that they look more pale. It is required for blood production. It is required for nerve health. Patients that have low B12 also have some cognitive issues. And so...
Wow, that's so interesting. I just also wanted to share with you, when you mentioned arthritis, I know so many health...
Oh, a quick question. You can do this yes or no. So if people are deficient in B12, I just heard them say that there could be cognitive issues involved. Now, that's interesting. Is that true, as far as we know?
Yes, very true.
All right. So everyone, check your normal intake. If you have a vitamin and mineral, one a day, or whatever, but check into the B12. What would you recommend? Just go ahead and whisper it on a daily RDA.
Most vitamins do include B12.
Okay, it's part of the combination. Yeah.
There could be an absorption issue. B12 requires something called intrinsic factor to be absorbed.
Okay.
And if there's a deficiency, that you have to determine whether or not you have that intrinsic factor working.
Hmm. All right. Well, just on a daily basis, what should people be considering normal supplementation? How many milligrams?
Oh, you only need very little micrograms. But the normal supplement would contain many thousands of times more than what's needed.
Okay, very good. All right, here's a little bit more of Naomi.
Adults were having shoulder replacement, knee issues, and we found that the number one side effect in the Pfizer documents is joint pain, which CDC, not a peep, allopathic medicine, not a peep. Second most common is myalgia, muscle pain. And I also know many healthy adult men, especially, who are just in crippling muscle pain and have no idea what's going on.
I do think that it creates inflammatory process in the muscles. I also think it creates these tendinopathies and weakens their tendons, which I think leads to the injuries that these athletes are getting.
Well, exactly. And that's exactly what I'm hearing about. And by the way, the lipid nanoparticles, I wonder about this too, because if they traverse every membrane, they might well weaken tendons, right? Mm-hmm. Or create an impaired condition in tendons. But, I'm hearing injuries like that,
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Naomi. Very good. The Wellness Company. Okay. That'll give you an idea of this issue of calcification, which we have not heard much of before at all. All right, anything you want to whisper in here and add in?
No.
You're doing great. Just keep focused on that hot fudge sundae. All right, so we're going to read a little bit here. I'm going to raise my voice to a higher pitch, and I'll pretend like America. All right. Oh, by the way, I did hear something about tinnitus. It was a video that I happened to watch a little bit of. And the whole process of hearing, and for all of you out there who are suffering from tinnitus because of the spike and the vax, I really have a bigger understanding now of the damage. This literally is doing physical damage to the brain. The constant noise, it's taking down normal baseline brain functions, and certainly cognitively, and that was made clear in this video. So people with tinnitus are really suffering in an even bigger panorama than I thought earlier. This is not just an inconvenience or a horror. It's doing physiological damage to the brain, which is came as a surprise to me, but it is. Okay. Different reactions to shedding. And do remember that shedding is right now, and I hope there's been a diminution in the number of people taking these injections, but we are always dealing with shedding 24 hours a day, and that's a problem. All right, here's some stories, different reactions to shedding. Question. When I'm around certain vaxxed people, I get some type of sickness. But other vax people, I don't catch anything. Just wondering if anyone else had the same reaction that I have. And there's a response to that. My daughter got the jab without saying anything, and I know for sure when she did, because I began having heart issues right afterward. Now, isn't this another nightmare? A daughter sheds on her mom, and her mom gets heart issues. And you can guess that it's Mayo or Perry, and they're probably to some degree. Unfortunately, her and her husband both live with my husband and I. In other words, it's four people in the house. So we are constantly taking supplements to fight the shedding. While I feel that it has decreased, it for sure has not stopped. So this woman and her husband, they're trapped in the house with two, their daughter and her husband, two vax people. And that's a real nightmare for sure. All right, here's another one. As someone who lives in the same house as a jabbed person, I can't understand this. And the person goes on, every person's body is different, and every batch is different. There are some jabbed people who just cause me to lose my balance, and others that cause me to have shingles. I wish I could understand it, but all I know is cause and effect. Someone adds, thank you for the suggestion. We do check the EMF levels around us. My symptoms are when I interact with the jabbed. I know this because I get symptoms pretty quickly after exposure. Someone posted a video from YouTube, and the man talks about shedding. There are so many people affected. There were more posts on people's shedding symptoms than I see here in a day. This jab is a bioweapon. I don't have these problems until the jab has been rolled out. That's 2+ years ago. The jab and the towers work together. In my opinion, I have no doubt. And another comment in this string, same person. After I talked to the jabbed person who gave me stroke-like symptoms, I was magnetic. I am the only one in my family who was magnetic. After taking Dr. Such and Such protocol, I am not magnetic anymore. Yeah. All right. So there we go. Those are reactions, different reactions to shedding. Here's one last comment on that. Same person. I'm not saying that your issue isn't shedding. I'm on home oxygen, and I can tell you that every time I become affected, as I live alone, I also know that in Canada, they have people hooked up to 6G, 5G, blah, 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 and that was pumped into my home as a trial without permission and caused massive illness for me. Just bringing awareness, not everyone even thinks about these things. And someone else adds, I'm not saying that your issue isn't shedding. Thank you for the suggestion. I'm sorry for your discomfort. It is so unfair that these people do this to all of us. All right, well, all true. I'm going to call you the whisperer. Any comments?
No, I mean, it's par for the course nowadays. Some people are really now sensitized to the spike, and it will be made. All of these effects are made worse by electromagnetic frequencies. Because the mechanism
exactly
almost the same. It's excessive calcium signaling.
Got it. Yep. Okay. Leg swelling from shedding. Someone I know sneezed in my face. Can you imagine? No, I can't. The next day, Saturday, I was awakened by an excruciating pain in my ankle. Monday was the last day I was able to work. I hobbled through and had to cab it home. That was a year ago, and I still can't walk pain-free. Wow. That's a blast of spike for sure, and mRNA. The doctors can't tell me why. Both of my legs are swollen, from ankles to thighs, all the way up. It's indefinite at the moment. I will lose my job and career very soon. I would like to know if I could rule shedding out somehow, because no other cause has been found, and they've stopped looking. I have to keep going back to them with more logical suggestions than just shedding, until it can't be denied like all the other adverse reactions were initially. One comment to that, from my own experience, it's likely shedding. You can find online that lymphedema is not an uncommon adverse effect of the COVID-19 injection. People shed upon can have reactions similar to those taking the shots directly, which range from little to none to serious neurology, cardiac, vascular issues, pulmonary, lymphatic, menstrual, and other conditions as well. So there you go. a friend sneezed in her face. I just, that's mind boggling. I don't even want to ask if it's still a friend. Can you imagine that? I can't. Sorry. No. Okay. Here's another one. Massive blood clot from shedding. I got a 12-inch clot in my right leg the day after my husband got vaxxed. As far as I know, it is very easy for vaxxed people to affect the unvaxxed. Friends did not want to associate with me, but it was more dangerous for me than for them. Thanks for all your videos. He's thanking someone. All right. So there you go. Leg swelling from shedding. Here's another one. Lingering sickness from shedding. Let's see what this is. 2 years ago, there were four people working in close proximity all day long. We noticed that two that did not take the concoction were affected. One began to experience a new onset of chronic sinus issues, and the other one lost sense of smell and taste. Both still have these same issues going on now, 2 years later. So it does, the spike does affect people differently, in different ways. Do you remember the two that say low iron in them? All right, do we want to do that?
You could save it for when I have my voice back.
Promises, promises. All right, here's another one. Plagued by shedding. Can anyone explain why I don't see anyone around me having these issues? My constant health problems started when the vaccines were first rolled out. For 4 to 5 months, I would get regular stomach aches, nausea, and pain. Never in my life have I had stomach problems to being constant and frequent. That summer, it let up. But then, once the first boosters hit, I started having waves of what felt like panic attacks. Over the next 4 to 5 months, that fall, I went to the doctor and another doctor and another doctor, seeking relief for symptoms that made me just feel awful. She wrote off. Maybe it's just off. In January of 2022, I got hit with COVID and have never recovered. It was like the spike proteins were building up in me until my body just gave out. Fatigue, hematoma in my calf, sensitivity to light, constant dizzy or buzzing, feeling in my head, shocks in my hands, and constantly feeling off. I suspected it was shedding. So this January of 2023, I stopped going to church for 6 weeks and dramatically improved, at least 70% better. Most of the people at my church are vaxxed and boosted. Plus, my job takes me into people's homes and also into hotels and motels. Not good. I noticed my symptoms would get worse if I was in the vaccinated's homes or buildings for over 30 minutes. Nobody believes me that it's shedding, but why am I the only one I know who is affected? How is that possible? Well, it's sensitivity. She's been sensitized.
Yep.
And it is different in different people. All right, let's see if I can find one more here.
How about shedding sickness from the dentist?
Don't you dare. Where is it?
Shedding.
April 5th?
Mm-hmm.
Top, middle, bottom. I see ditch by doctors.
No.
Further down?
Shedding, sickness, from dentist.
Dentist. All right, I'm looking. There it is. All right. In 2021, I went to a dentist who told me that he and the staff had just had the COVID shot. I didn't know, by the way. I did not get the shot, by the way. During my procedure, he had on a face shield open at the bottom, and his breath went into my mouth. I felt and I tasted it. You this is awful. About a week later, I got a rash that quickly spread to my entire body, face, everything. It was awful and extremely painful. I was in the emergency room twice, once in shock. The rash lasted over 3 months. I got a biopsy done on one of the spots. Not too long after this, Pfizer was forced to put on their current list of adverse effects from the shot, which there were thousands of, including many rashes and autoimmune diseases. The rash I had was on the list. Then a bit later, I got lymphocytic microscopic colitis, also on the list. That was just horrible, causing terrible pain and diarrhea that lasted 3 months. I lost 30 pounds, which made me underweight and malnourished. I honestly wanted to just go meet my maker. I was done. Praise God. Things got better, and I'm okay now. I was perfectly healthy before 2021, and that visit to the dentist, no skin issues or colitis ever. One inventor of the mRNA stuff has tried to warn of shedding. He also didn't recommend to use it for the COVID vaccine, but that's a long story. I've read many testimonials from those who believe shedding has happened to them as well. Many got menstrual issues or miscarriages from shedding. So again, not to sound like a broken record, but the shedding issue is the biggest issue I think that we have on the table right now, and we are doing our best to keep you updated on that. Right? And your 5 minute summation, go right ahead.
Pass.
Oh, go get some ice cream. Did you buy ice cream at the store?
No.
Do you have any?
No.
Oh. All right. Next time, don't forget the ice cream.
Okay.
All right. Good night, dear. You take care.
Okay. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Oh, what a trooper. Okay. All right. Information, yes. We try and laugh at things when we can a little bit, too. So hang on, and we'll come right back with hour number three.